The reality of Golos Mitzrayim, in fact, the reality of any Golos, is that it's sometimes easier to take the Yidden out of the Golos than to take the Golos out of the Yidden. Reb Arye Levine points out that in the famous story about Rachel crying for her children, and she refuses to be comforted for her children because they are not, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tries to comfort her, he says, Koyamar Hashem, the Pasuk says, Mini koylech mi bechi ve'inayech mi dima, stop crying, your eyes should stop tearing up, ki yesh sachar lefula seich, there is schar for your work, Nu'um Hashem, says Hashem, v'shavu me'eretz ayev, they'll return from enemy land, v'yesh tikva l'achri seich, and there is hope for your end, the ultimate goal, Nu'um Hashem, the words of Hashem, v'shavu banim l'gvulam, and your children will return to their boundaries. There are two Nu'um Hashems. There are two times that it says, these are the words of Hashem, this is the speech of Hashem, meaning that there's two specific things that Hashem is telling her. There are two parts to this conversation. Rachel is crying for her children who are lost, and Hashem promises to send them back. But when they get back, she starts crying again. Are these my sons? Is this what they look like now? Is this what I was waiting for? And then Hashem promises her that when they come back, when they will come back to their natural place, to their land, they're coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shavu banim l'gvulam, they will come back as real Jews. So we see two things that need to happen upon redemption. There's the physical redemption, but there's the spiritual one as well. Meaning, it's not enough just to have our independence. It's not enough just to come out of Golos. It's also how we come out of Golos. Do we come out as Yidden? Do we come out as Jews? In the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson writes a preamble explaining why the Americans are justified in their revolt. Meaning, we believe, or the Enlightenment philosophers believe, that one of the essential, unalienable rights of mankind is the right to rebel, as long as there's a justified reason to rebel. And in order to start off this revolution, Thomas Jefferson explains in the Declaration of Independence, we have a reason to rebel. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. I'm reading from the words of the Declaration. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Meaning that as human beings, we tolerate things, we become used to things, and will generally not act to fix the situation as long as the suffering is sufferable. It's only when the suffering becomes insufferable that we act. We sometimes look at situations with other people find themselves in and we don't understand, why aren't you trying to get out of this? Why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you taking an action to change the situation? But this is human nature. We get used to our environment and don't have the strength, the ability, and sometimes even the innate desire to make that change. This Sfas Emes quoting the Chiddush HaYorim speaks on a pasuk in our parsha. Hashem is describing to Moshe before the Makos begin what the process of the Geula will be like. V'hitzesi eschem mitachas sivlais Mitzrayim. I will take you out from under the sivlais Mitzrayim. V'itzalti eschem avaydasam, and I'll save you from their avayda. V'ka'alti eschem b'zrayin etuya b'shvatim gedolim. The whole process of Geula, I will take you out and I'll redeem you and I'll save you. When it says, V'haytzesi eschem mitachas sivlais Mitzrayim, I'll take you out from under the suffering of Mitzrayim, says the Chiddush HaYorim, read it, Aitzia eschem, I will take you out, mitach hasavlanus shalachem, sheyesh bachem klapei Mitzrayim. I will take you out, not from sivlais, the suffering, but savlanus, the patience. Meaning, we start tolerating the galus. We start tolerating things that we shouldn't tolerate. And what Hashem tells Moshe is, first, I will make this galus so intolerable for you until you can't handle it anymore. And then this statement, as long as the Jews are okay with managing in this galus, ein ha-gu'ula yichayla lavai. In other words, the Jews of Mitzrayim had come to terms with their enslavement. And while they weren't happy with it, they didn't see any great need to leave it. And this is our reality in every golus we find ourselves in. At the end of days, uvahu ha'avdim me'eretz Ashur, v'hanidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. There are two types of people who are lost in golus. They are those in golus Mitzrayim who are nidachim. They are pushed away, they are oppressed. These are the Jews who, throughout our history, the Jews in the concentration camps, the slave laborers, they're pushed aside, inferior, ostracized. But the Oivdim in Eretz Ashur, those who are lost in Eretz Ashur, perhaps have a good life. They're accepted politically, many become wealthy and important, but they are lost, so lost in their beautiful homes and beautiful lives. They don't even realize that they want the Geula to come. Rav Yeshua Ber Soloveitchik said that there are times in our lives when we feel like we are nidachim. That's the times where we're facing a difficulty, a tragedy, a complication, a so hard situation that we krechts and we say, oi, Mashiach has to come. Mashiach has to come. But just as important, and even more so, are those times when we are oivdim, when we're lost, when we think, and we shouldn't be thinking this way, of course, but I kind of want Mashiach to come, but I don't know what I'm missing here. This is the greatest danger of all. This is when we have to realize that we are lost in our golus. We have become tolerant of it, and we start to accept it. In the 1800s, as Napoleon was making his way across Europe and bringing rights and freedoms to all the countries that he conquered, he eventually makes it into the Austria-Hungarian Empire. And the Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer in Presburg run to tell him with great excitement, Rebbe, Rebbe, Napoleon is here, Napoleon is coming. And we have to understand that the Jews in Europe at that time, the ones who were not emancipated, were living under terrible, terrible conditions. They were in ghettos, they were oppressed, there were laws against them. And as Napoleon came and opened up the ghettos and brought the Declaration of Rights of Man with him, the Napoleonic Code with him, that said liberty, equality, fraternity for all, and that included the Jews. So there were definitely people amongst the Jewish nation who believed this is great, this is the salvation. And they came and they told him, Rebbe, we're not going to be oppressed anymore. There's not going to be laws against us anymore. We're going to be able to have freedom of religion. We're going to be able to do whatever we want to do. And the Chasam Sofer began to cry. And they said to him, Rebbe, why are you crying? This is a good thing. And he said, I'll give you a mashal about a king. And the king had a son who wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And in this particular mashal, the king sends the son to an island, but does let the people of the island know that he is the prince. And some mashalim, they don't know he's the prince. And this mashal, they knew he was the prince. And yet the king sent him without any provisions, without any money, without any ability to make a living. And so the king worked, the prince worked like a regular peasant. Years passed, and one day many boats start to come to the harbor, and the boats carry the seal of the king on the boat. And as the boats begin to unload, the people see that what's being unloaded is furniture and building supplies. And they run to the prince and they say to him, your father hasn't abandoned you. Your father has remembered you. He's sending you all the supplies to build a beautiful palace. You will be able to live like a prince again. And the prince began to cry. And they said, why are you crying? Your life is going to get so much easier now. And he said to them, don't you understand? Don't any of you understand? I don't want to live in a palace in Chutz La'aretz. I want to go home. I want to go to my father. And all the time that the Golus was difficult and challenging for me, here on the island, I knew my father is a compassionate person. I knew my father wasn't going to abandon me forever. And I was just waiting for the day that those boats would come and take me home. But if my father is building me a palace here in Chutz La'aretz, it means he's not planning to take me home anytime soon. And that's why I'm crying. And it doesn't mean that we should be asking for the tzaras, but it does mean that we should be very aware not to become patient and tolerant of our golus. It's not good that we're here. We don't want palaces in Chutz La'aretz. Again, we're not asking to be chas v'shalom, not in ghettos and not in concentration camps, and not to be nidachim. But we shouldn't be oivdim either. We should remember that this is not a we shouldn't tolerate it. We should be saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this golus is becoming insufferable. and it's time for us to go home.